Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show, where on this show, helping others is the name of the game, and we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Jacqueline. She is a nurse prac, but I respect the title, so I'm going to call her Dr. Jacqueline, who is an owner of her own medical practice in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and she practices as a primary care professional, or practitioner, I should say, who deals specifically with holistic health. Welcome, Ms. Jacqueline, Dr. Jacqueline. I am so honored that you took the time today to sit with me and talk about holistic health and what we can do as a part of our seven things we can do to actually start and continue and maintain a healthy lifestyle. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Patrice, for inviting me. I am honored by your invitation.
I'm looking so forward to this, y'all. She's going to keep me on my health path. I'm loving this already. So y'all know how I love to do. I like to say, what's your story? But I'm going to change it up today. Tell me about you. Give me a little background about you.
Oh my God, I would be okay. So besides my name being Josephine, I was born in the Caribbean island of Haiti. I relocated to Florida in 1985. And my parents brought me there. I like to say that. It wasn't my choice. My parents brought me there. But I absolutely love Florida. And I went to school there to be a registered nurse, graduated in 1993. I got married in 1994, and my husband, who is an engineer, ended up finding a much better job in Massachusetts, so relocated in Massachusetts. I had two daughters soon after, and I decided at some point I'm going to go back to school because my goal was to be a nurse practitioner. So with the help of my husband and my daughters, they were very, very good at helping me with PowerPoints and everything, all the technology that was coming on and I didn't know about. I went back to school and I graduated in 2014 as a family nurse practitioner. Yeah, so that's my story. And I'm on my own because of the holistic approach. I practice with a holistic approach. And when I first graduated and working with doctors, and I have to follow their policies, I have to follow their own things, but I always felt like I want to practice on my own so I can encourage patients to do more like prevention and do more like, I call it well care than sick care. So if we are preventing, if we're leading a healthy lifestyle, if we're preventing diseases, then we don't have to be sick. So so my focus is really on prevention and using the holistic approach.
What I love about your particular technique is that, and you even said it, you said I work on well care, not sick care. And I love that for so many people, especially in this time of COVID, and all the different variations of COVID, that this, for a lot of people, this is the time that we really took control and honestly accountability and responsibility for our health. Because most people at this point really couldn't afford to go to a doctor, or if you could go, you didn't want to go by yourself. So right. I love that today you're going to sit down with us and give us tips on how we can really take hold and control of our lives. And it doesn't have to be something so stressful, because I have to be honest with you, y'all know I like to eat, okay? And on this channel, I am what I call a fat girl. Remember, that means fabulous and thick, okay, y'all? Now, in this process, I enjoy eating, but I don't want to give up what I love. I want to find ways to do this, because I've had doctors in the past tell me, well, you should get on some meds if you're not going to change, or you should do this. But I love how I don't have to change all that. I don't have to give away life or deprive myself. And I love today that you're going to share with us how we can do this. So go ahead. I'm going to stop chatting, y'all. Let's see what she has. Give us the first tip. What can we do to start this healthy lifestyle?
Okay. So my first thing is like, you need to have self-love. So do you have self-love? Is like my first question. So how do you get self-love is to accept your physical appearance, for one thing, accept your race, your ethnicity, accept your weight and height, accept your facial features, your hair, and then accept your inner abilities as well, your talents that were given to you, your gifts and your capacities. So this is what I call self-love. So we need to have this in order to even think about going on a health, on a healthy lifestyle.
I love that. That's the first key, because for so many people, that's what the biggest part is. They're not accepting who they've been beautifully created to be.
Right.
And that is a major piece to start the whole process. All right. So first thing, self-love. What's number two?
Okay, mom. Number two is love others. Your family, your mom and dad, your siblings, your extended family, your community, your neighbors, your colleagues at work, your friends. And because we, you know, we all need to have someone that we can maybe cherish something with and, you know, we can talk to. We all need helpers in order to be, to avoid being burned out. Because I like to say no one is an island in itself. So, and then I like to say it takes a village to accomplish certain things. So it's good to have a community of people behind you. Even in your journey to staying healthy, it's good to have, you know, your parents reminding you when you were a kid, you know, don't eat too much candies. We all remember those days when the parents don't want to give us all that sugar. So we do need that accountability. So we need others in order to have a healthy lifestyle.
I love that piece, because when people think of loving others, they only think of the romantic piece. But we have to remember that loving others means having those people that connect with you and truly know you and right. say, I want to see the best for you. Then you use one of my favorite words, accountability. Now, when I first started with that word, I didn't like it. I'm just telling you, I didn't like it at all. Okay. But what I've come to love about that word means there's somebody enough that I trust in that they're going to be able to call me out on my stuff and I still can be okay with it.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So what's number three? So the first one, I'm just going to recap as we go. Number one was self-love. Number two was loving others. Exactly. And number three.
Okay, we get into your eating, since you mentioned you love to eat. So.
Don't hurt my feelings now.
It's eating, because we all need to eat. Nobody can live without eating. We need food to live.
Okay.
We don't have to live for food, but we need food to live.
Okay. I love how you said that, because that's been our motto. So food, we don't need food to, we need food to live, but we don't have to live to eat.
We don't live for food. We don't live for food.
Yeah. All right, go a little deeper in that one for me.
Okay. So that's why I talk about a balanced diet. So, you know, as kids, and depending on the culture you're coming from, you know, every culture have the different ways of doing things, but most cultures, they stick to three meals a day, you know, breakfast, lunch, and supper. And then some cultures, they have snacks in between. Some cultures never start a snack in between. So, So, and then a balanced diet is also good. We all, again, based on the culture that we're coming from, we have the foods that we think are better to eat in the morning and the foods that are more appropriate for lunch and more appropriate for supper. So those are the things that we need to take into consideration when we're eating a balanced diet.
What are some of the things?
Balanced diet would be, you know, including fruits, vegetables, salads, grains, you know, meat, your protein, and variety of, again, based on your culture, because like I grew up in Haiti, and there are some fruits that we had in Haiti, we do not have them in the United States. So when I had, when I came here, I had to adapt. Like, I used to eat mangoes, you know, all the time. With mango season, mangoes would be breakfast, or mango juice would be breakfast. And then I came to the United States. Well, I mean, we have mangoes here, but not as much as the island. And sometimes it's so expensive, you can't even afford it. So I kind of have to take that into consideration that, I mean, it's a different country now. So what is the fruit that I'm going to replace my mango with? So, you know, and then strawberries, we don't have strawberries in Haiti. We don't have blueberries. We don't have the berries at all. So those were fruits that were introduced to me in this culture, and I had to learn about them, try them, and see which one I like and which one is going to take the place of my mango. There is something called papaya in Haiti. Do I don't know if you've ever seen papaya?
But yes, I love papaya, actually.
Papaya, so that's another thing that is not too common. Sometimes you cannot find them in all the supermarkets, based on where you live. Some places have a lot of immigrants from the Caribbean or the Spanish cultures, and they will tend to have things that pertain to us. So, but anyway, so eating a balanced diet, like I said, it's really including everything, you know.
So can I ask a question? Because you mentioned something that kind of sparked me for a second. We're in a space where everybody is slowly going vegan, or they're becoming a flexitarian. I know even for me, I've changed up quite a bit in my own health journey, where I've never been a red meat eater. I can't handle it. And I've pretty much, I'm even at the point I'm limiting chicken now. I didn't do red, limiting chicken. I had to leave my best friend alone, the pork, so I had to leave him alone. How do we work through keeping and making sure we have all the proteins that we need if right. we're not eating meat? Because I know for so many people, they keep saying, well, you need the protein, you need the protein. What are some other things I can do if I don't eat any meat products?
Okay, there is protein like in eggs. I know some vegans also avoid eggs. And then other than that, like, you know, milk has protein, and you can always have, buy the protein supplements too. So I have a daughter who's a vegetarian, so that's what I do with her, because it's really tough. But nuts, you know, if you eat nuts, you know, all the cashew, all kind of nuts, they all have protein in it. Okay. And then some of the vegetables do have protein, like cauliflowers and let me think of carrots. Yeah, they have some limited. Yeah, so there is what they call plant proteins. You know, some plants have protein in them too. So, I am not a vegetarian, but I really don't eat a lot of meat. I really eat meat in small portions. I don't think I could be a vegetarian because I do love meat. Okay. Yeah, and I do crave for meat sometimes, but I just don't eat a large portion of meat.
Well, that's some good. You gave us some good things to add in. So we might make this work on this health journey with the eating. I thought you were going to say, man, to give up a lot more. Okay.
Right. So, and also for balanced diet, I did talk about supplements too, that I recommend that everybody have supplements, because it's really hard to have all the vitamins from A to Z from food. So it's good to take a little, when I say supplement, a little multiple vitamin that has everything in it. So you make sure that you have everything. And I have a client right now who's 108 years old.
I'm sorry, how old did you say?
108.
108 years old?
Yeah, this client is, yeah, she's 108, and I'm like, I gotta learn something from you. I always tell her that. She says, well, I always took multiple vitamins, and I'm like, okay, then that's gonna stay with me. Always take a multiple vitamin.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And also, talk about a little fasting too, because even, well, everybody fasts. That's one thing people don't think, oh no, I never fast. No, I'm like, you fast, everybody fasts, because that's why we have the breakfast, because when we're sleeping, we're fasting. So everybody, at least they have an 8 hour when they do not eat. I hope if they're eating, if they're sleeping for 8 hours, if you're having, you don't eat for 8 hours. So that is the fast. But it's good to try to prolong your fast. So by skipping breakfast, sometimes I'm not saying to do it all the time, but like me, for the past 15 years, I have not skipped 1 week without picking one day when I skip breakfast. So that's boost your metabolism, believe it or not. Doesn't have to be more than one day. You can do more. Sometimes I do more than one day of skipping breakfast. Or I will go on a fast sometimes for a whole day or a couple of days. I've done up to 3 days without food, just fluid. But if you can do a 1 day a week of skipping breakfast and stretch that metabolism of yours, it will, you will see the results in the long run.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. What's four? So we've gotten me past the eating hump. What's four? What can I do?
So four is sleep. So we all need to sleep. And even the animals, a lot of animals sleep. They have, we have even animals who sleep for months. And we have animals who sleep most of the time, like the lions. People never think about it. I think lions sleep for 20 hours and they're only awake for 4 hours. So,
I thought about that one.
Okay. Yeah, so getting the right amount of sleep, because for some reason there's an hormone that we produce, and we produce it when we are sleeping, so it's good for our metabolism. So the less sleep you get, the less of that hormone you produce, so it's not good for our metabolism not to get the right amount of sleep. So it's called, they have to, ghrelin and leptin, so those are the hormones. So it's a healthy lifestyle definitely has to include the right amount of sleep. So we all know that for babies, they sleep longer, sometimes like lions, sleep 20 hours and they wake up for. Adolescents, they sleep they need to sleep a little less than babies, but they should still be getting some sleep. And unfortunately, a lot of our adolescents, especially in that type of culture we're living now with the social media, they stay awake late, they do meet social media in the middle of the night. And yeah, and then adults need to sleep. It's like the older we get, the less sleep we need. And some elder people, they can live on 5 hours of sleep, 4 hours of sleep, and they do well.
So yeah. In this area of sleep, it sounds like we need to have really good sleep hygiene. So we need to have some type of routine that it benefits for us, so that we're not having issues in our weight, but also does sleep affect your mental health?
Yes, it does affect your mental health. Because when you're sleeping, you know, resting your brain from all the worries of the day, so that definitely helps with your mental health. Some cultures they nap. Okay. So when I was in Haiti, when I was growing up, like in elementary school, they used to send us, school was always twice a day. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we go to school from 8 to 12 noon, and then we go home from 12 noon to 2. We go home to nap. You can actually take a nap, eat lunch, take a nap, and then go back to school. So they have done away with that. Unfortunately, they don't do it anymore, but I heard that was really something that we have learned from some European cultures, like this is Portugal used to do it. Everybody does, like, they call it la siesta. Everybody takes a siesta to sleep. Yeah, and even stores will close. Everything closes at 12 when noon because people would go have lunch and then take that nap and then go back to work. So.
Wow, that's a really good, that's a good way of doing it so you don't burn yourself out at the job. Because right. Now we're in such a culture where everybody wants you to work, 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 work. Yeah. And you're burning yourself at every end.
Right.
And still not being productive.
Right. So you talked about sleep hygiene. So I did talk about that too. Sleep hygiene, you know, it's like not to do social media a couple of hours before you go to sleep, not to eat too late. Because when you eat too late, you don't have time to metabolize that food. So that doesn't help with your healthy lifestyle habits. And then make sure, you know, your room temperature is good. You don't have too much light. You know, you sleep in the dark. The best sleep is to be, you know, to sleep in the dark. And then noise, don't make noise. Don't have the radio on. Although some people say that's what makes them sleep is the radio on. And if you have like, oh, that's not good, you should really, yeah, let your brain just, you know, sleep, not be listening to the radio or the TV and sleeping. And then also plants, some plants, most plants, they use the carbon dioxide like us, and it's not good for us to have them in our rooms. Mm-hmm.
So even bringing in some green life is beneficial to your sleep.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, I didn't know that one. All right, I'll try that out. So wait, so far we've gotten self-love, loving others, having a proper diet, some sleep. What's number five?
Number five, exercise.
Okay, this one we're going to have a problem, Doc. Wait a minute now. So what does that look like? Yeah. Exercise. All right. Is this 2 hours in the gym?
I know when I say exercise, all Americans is, going to the gym, equipment, 2 hours, like you're saying, yogas, Pilates, Zumbas, well, all good. But also, one thing that we need to know, like in some cultures, we don't have gyms. Well, now we're starting to have gyms in Haiti, but when I was growing up there, we didn't have gyms. So what we did is walking to school instead of taking the bus. So I walked 20 minutes to school instead of taking the bus. So sometimes I have money to take the bus. At some point, we started having the bus all the time, but I would still walk and keep my money.
Okay. So walking is a good way to do this. Do I have to be at a certain speed or pace?
No, any type of walking counts. And I tell people, house cleaning, we don't see our house cleaning as exercise, but you're scrubbing that floor, doing that motion of, you know, that helps. Because when you think of it, when you go to the gym, you are pulling things and pushing things so you can get your strength exercise and build up calcium in your bones. Well, there are some houseworks that you're pushing and pulling and scrubbing and rubbing. That is considered to be exercise. It's movement. Because Americans don't tend to see exercise as movement. And then I tell people in the Caribbean, we dance. We love to dance. We dance everywhere.
So I don't have to have this structure thing. I can do walking. I can do some house cleaning, which I'm already doing anyway. And right. Then I can do one of my favorite things, which is dance.
Dancing, yes.
Exactly. You know what, you're talking my language now. Hello, we can do this. All right. So some dancing, get a little move and groove going, long as I have some movement.
Movements, right. Like in the Caribbean men, they love to take their wives every Saturday, you know, out to dance. So that's the exercise we get there. We're dancing with our spouse. So we
both like that.
Yeah, and if you want to do jogging, I always tell the Americans, you don't always have to go to the gym. Sometimes I can be making my tea, or I can be cooking while my thing is boiling. I am there jogging in the kitchen.
Oh, so I can even bring it in the house.
I do that. Yeah, I do that all the times. I jog while I'm watching TV at home. I have treadmill and I am on the treadmill and I'm watching TV. When you go to the gym, a lot of people do that too. I'm watching the news and I'm jogging. So multitasking. I know sometimes people say, I don't have time to do this. But if you start multitasking, some things you can multitask. You can watch the TV and be on the treadmill at the same time. Or if you don't have a treadmill, you can be jogging in your dining room and watching TV at the same time.
Okay, so this wasn't too bad, Doc. I thought you was gonna have a moment when you started talking about this exercise thing.
Bicycle, like, you know, we all know it's exercise, and in the islands again, sometimes people go to far away places on a bicycle, so they're getting the exercise right there on the bicycle, and horseback riding. My grandparents had farms where they had horseback riding. Actually, was their means of transportation. If you were gonna go somewhere instead of taking a car, that's what they had. They had a horse, too. So they got their exercise horseback riding. So yeah.
Okay, you gave me some good ones here. Wait, what's number six?
Okay, number six is having an occupation. So I know I have friends who are housewives and they really feel like, okay, we're not useful to society because we don't have a career. Well, I says, no. Being a mother is a career.
Yes, it is. That's the hardest job out there.
Having an occupation is a good thing because it gives you the sense of purpose in your life, the sense of doing something that is good for society. So if you have an occupation outside, yeah, that's fine. But if you're a housewife, and I also say house husbands count, because I don't know. I feel like we have men who are really domesticated, or they feel better being at home. So I know some people might like you like that. I know in most societies, the men were supposed to be the provider. You go out, you work, and you bring the money, and the wife would stay home sometimes and take care of the kids. But society has done a switch. Mm-hmm. And some men are really good at cooking, cleaning, taking care of the kids, and doing that. And if they're doing that and the wife is working, what are you complaining about?
I love that you brought that up, because I know during the COVID time, a lot of families, two-parent families, had to make a switch. Like, I've had people who would say, well, my husband, you know, got downsized and, you know, he ended up staying home with the kids and really started loving it. And then I've heard other people say, well, my wife downsized and I had to take the reins. So what I love about it is you're not making anyone feel less. You're letting them know house husbands count too. Well as housewives. And I love that you're showing that the rule book of roles have changed.
Right, exactly. And I don't think it's a problem if a man is home and can take care of the kids. And yeah, because, and I have friends who are in that situation who, I mean, I spent a lifetime telling them, are they cooking? Yeah, when you come home, you know, you go to work. When you come home, do you have, if you come home and the man is just, you know, like watching TV all day or playing games, then that's a problem. But I says, is he taking care of the kids? Is he cleaning? Is it, yeah. And I find a lot of men were cooking, were doing all the housework, and the wives go and work. And when they come home, they don't have to do anything because husband did everything. So that's fine. Yeah. But I have a cousin who she has bookings for that too. She is the one who's chosen to do that. She told her, yeah, she feels like your husband is really like a loving father who would love to take care of the kids. And she volunteered to, okay, let me just work full time and you take care of the kids. And it's good for everybody because she, like this, she gets irritated with the kids and kids stuff, but the husband is more able to do it. He's more like a, you know, he's got the mother figure. So,
but I don't know that in this example that you're giving us, it goes to show that you have to know what's your strong suits in your home. And right. You have to know what your mate brings to the table. You know, like you said, at some point she gets a little aggravated and I know how she feels. And right. then there's other parts that she's like, man, yeah. he excels at this. Let me let him do this. Right. So I think that's awesome for her to be able to be honest and say, hey, listen, my husband has this and he excels in it. Let me embrace it and let me move forward with it. Exactly. All right. I'm loving this, but now I got to know, number seven, what's my last thing of having a healthy lifestyle?
Okay, so now your number seven is the recreational stuff. Like, we all need to have some type of recreation, you know. Every day we do need a little time to take a break and stretch and, you know, at work, forget about food, the work and get your meal. And you're not, but we all need to retire from whatever we were doing and don't do anything or do something else. So
what's your recreation? What do you like to do?
Yeah, you can have a hobby that you spend every day doing a little bit of it, or if you don't have time every day, maybe once a week you're about to do it. Like me personally, I can stitch, so I enjoy stitching. But I love to write, and right now I'm writing a book. So,
okay, look at us getting world premiere news. All right, writing a book. What will this book be about?
So that's my hobby right now. Although my husband might be able to make it a career. I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll see that. But right now it's a hobby. So I'm writing. I've been writing forever, and I decided that this year, 2022, I'm gonna publish a book. So I'll let you go with the next.
All right. Well, listen, y'all, we just broke some worldwide news. We have a doctor who's an author who's going to be sharing her story with us. I can't wait, y'all. I'm going to have to make sure I have room on my shelf for this book. Go ahead.
Yeah. So your recreation, again, could be, you know, like your social gatherings with friends, family members, your vacation getaway from home, whether it's just a weekend somewhere in the same state where you are, or even if you travel abroad, whatever, wherever you go, but it's good to go somewhere. And again, it's good to be still sometimes, take a little time of recreation, be still 10 minutes, 15 minutes, do a little meditation. And I also have what I call a sabbatical, which is good to do a couple of years.
What is that? Because depending on where you are, sabbaticals sound very different depending on the field you work in. So how are we taking the sabbatical?
Right. Well, like for me, I feel like every couple of years, I feel like I need to take a little time off where I go on a vacation by myself without husband and kids. It's like my me time. Or sometimes I'll go to a women's retreat where I am with other women. And we have the same kind of purpose or same kind of need. Sometimes it's, I am a religious person, so sometimes it's a Christian retreat. Mm-hmm. But I for the book purpose, I've gone to a retreat with other people who are writing books, so. Yeah. Something like that,
Okay, so very cool. So what I love about what you gave us with these seven, and I'm gonna do a quick recap, our seven things that you need to do to start your healthy lifestyle. One, you had to have some self-love. Two, loving others. Three, having proper meal and eating plan. Four, making sure you get enough sleep. Five, exercise. Y'all heard us say that right out. Okay. Six, having a good job, making sure that you have an occupation that makes you feel fulfilled. And then seven, making sure that you're jumping in and having some recreational time. But what I love about your recreational time is that you talked about having time away for you. Mm-hmm. You know, so many times people just think about, well, I can do a staycation at the house with me and my person and we're okay. But it's always time that you need to take care of you as well. So can you give us any last words? What would be your final words on how we're starting this healthy lifestyle, and how would you encourage us to have this lifestyle of prevention?
Yeah. So I think one thing that I didn't mention too is to check with the doctors to just make sure that you you get a good baseline, you know. So I everybody is different. So I cannot tell you to be that weight. So that's why I mentioned before that you need to embrace your height and your weight, because your height and your weight, that might be the right weight that matches you. Like, to tell you the truth, I have a girlfriend who is 6'4". Mm-hmm. And 200 pounds is not heavy for her. You know what wow. I mean? So, okay. But yeah, but a friend who is 5'8", 200
it's
pounds.
It's a totally different setup.
That's why, we don't look at, you know, how much do you weigh? Oh my God, that's 200 pounds. It's so much, you know? So we all have to look at, you know, look at ourselves and then look at our environment and don't really compare ourselves with other people. We're all different, and what is healthy for you might not be healthy for me. Just like when I said about the fruits, maybe you don't even have that fruit in your country. Why am I gonna tell you to eat this and you don't even have it? Wow. So just embrace ourselves for who we are, embrace our society for what it is, and embrace our purpose as being different for everybody and unique for everybody, and hold hands with each other and compliment each other, because we're all there for a purpose, and we're all there to be there for someone else, because if we weren't there, something would be missing. So always see yourself as important wherever you are. You are important, and you need to be there because of, I mean, it's not an accident that you're there. There is a reason for you to be there. And and do your best to stay healthy. Yeah, check with the doctors for a physical every now and then, making sure you're on the right path.
Okay, so how can we reach out to you? So somebody says, hey, you know what? I love that you came on to the Patrice Brantley podcast. You shared some great tips with your seven. How can we connect with you?
Okay, so I am in New Hampshire. I have a primary care practice. So if somebody is in my area or in Massachusetts or New Hampshire, they can always contact me at my website is fountainsofhealthprimarycare.com. Phone number is 603-943-8923. But if somebody is not in in this area, like you, Patrice, who I do have, like, I'm part of a group of other women or men where we have a healthy lifestyle, behavior, habits group that we practice, and accountability, like you said, is something that we pursue in that group. We're in that group because of accountability. So if someone is interested in that group, they can also reach out to me also at fountainofhealth712@gmail.com. That's my email address. You can contact me if you'd like to be part of that group. And we share ideas for free there about meals. We share recipes. We share all the things that I've talked about. We share them, and we don't charge each other. We just do it for accountability. So
listen, guys, we got an amazing resources here today. So like I tell y'all, make sure y'all share this podcast with a friend. Make sure everybody knows that, yes, you can be healthy, well, and wise, and it doesn't take a whole lot of steps to make it happen. So I want to thank you, Dr. Josephine, for coming in. This was such an amazing pleasure, and you gave me so many great tips. I think you might even get me to do a little bit of exercise. I think that might happen. So at this point, I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're on this show, the name of the game is helping others, and we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.